We're looking at Luke chapter 8 this morning. We're looking at the parable of the sower, and we're going to read verses 1 to 15. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered, because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Let's pray for God's help as we think about those words this morning. Loving Father, you've given us your amazing word to light our way in this world, to teach us the secrets of your kingdom. And so give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Being a good listener is a really vital skill to have, isn't it? I feel like our skills as a family in listening have been put to the test in recent months. Since February and moving down to Bath, we have met so many new people. And we've been learning people's names and their family connections and where they're from and all kinds of things like that, their jobs, what they do at church. And the thing is, just because the information has gone into our ears, it doesn't always mean as a family we've taken it on board properly. I've definitely been caught out when someone's asked me something and I've got the wrong name with the wrong person at times. Now, that sort of thing happens more than we might like to admit. I can't be the only one in the room who has been surprised when events have appeared in my diary and Catherine insists that she told me about it and I knew it was going to happen, but I was convinced I'd never been informed. Or a crucial piece of news, which I definitely told her, which she tells me is brand new information. You can even find yourself, can't you, in the middle of a conversation with someone, having to ask them to repeat everything they've just said, because you zoned out and the information that was going in your ear wasn't going into your head at all. Now, it's bad enough that we do that to one another, even to our nearest and dearest. But we want to recognise this morning that we can do exactly the same when it comes to God's word. We open our Bibles to hear God speak to us, but actually we aren't listening to what he says sometimes. And that is something that the Bible challenges us to consider carefully. It would be a serious mistake to deceive ourselves that we are listening to God's words if we walk out of this door this morning and forget everything we've heard, everything we've said about the Lord's death for us, everything that this parable has to teach. Now, I think this is something that is especially relevant when it comes to familiar stories from the Bible, things like the parables that we're looking at this week, and again, we'll look at another one next week. The parables of Jesus are such well-known and well-loved stories, aren't they? It means that phrases like, you know, the prodigal son returns or a good Samaritan, those have become part of everyday speech, even for people who never set foot in a church. And perhaps it's tempting for us as Christians to think, well, because we know these stories so well, they have nothing new to teach us. I learned all that in Sunday school. But what we discover as we approach these stories again is that unless we are prepared to work at listening to Jesus, there is no guarantees that we will hear the secrets of the kingdom of God. So let's dig into this story. Here's the first point that I want us to take on board this morning. And it's this. There is a message that you need to hear. We're picking up in Luke's Gospel at the start of a new little section in the ministry of Jesus, and it's all focused on his teachings. And it's clear from the opening verses of our passage exactly what Jesus has been doing. In verse 1, it says he's been travelling around from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. That is Jesus' priority. It has been since the start of his ministry. Back in chapter 4, verse 43, it tells us that is why he came. And evidently, this is a strategy that has been fruitful. Jesus has told people about his kingdom, and people have got on board with that message, haven't they? Here we have a list of all the people who were following Jesus. A diverse following. The 12, obviously the apostles, they were with him. But there was all these women as well who were coming and supporting him. All kinds of different backgrounds that they have. Mary, who had the demons cast out of her. Joanna, who was obviously quite a high status woman because her husband was part of the household of King Herod. And Susanna and many others. There's a whole bunch of people who have responded to the word of Jesus and are following him. Their lives have been transformed. And that is a sign that we have listened to Jesus, isn't it? That our response to him is to follow him and serve him as these women were doing, supporting him out of their own means. But these devoted followers are also joined by an excited crowd from the surrounding towns who are eager to listen to the famous traveling preacher with a penchant for miraculous healing. Verse 4, the large crowd is gathering. They're coming to Jesus from town after town. And the expectations as Jesus got ready to teach them must have been sky high. You know, Jesus was someone who had a reputation. He had caused others to say they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. That's what it says in chapter 4. So people knew when they came to hear Jesus, it was going to be something special. And so here's all the crowd on the edge of their seats, and they're ready to hear what is the amazing message that Jesus is going to preach this morning. And verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. Now, when you hear that, do you immediately think that this is groundbreaking teaching that is going to change your world? I think if we're honest, it's pretty underwhelming stuff, isn't it? It's not the inspirational message we're expecting from Jesus. It's farmers and fields and seeds and soil. It is the mundane stuff of everyday life for the people who were listening to him. They had all walked along the mud paths at the edge of a field, and they'd seen the trampled, hardened soil. They'd all seen the birds swooping down to eat seeds that had been cast on the ground. They'd all tried to dig in a field only to sort of have their spade bent out of shape because there was a big rock underneath it. All of them knew what it was like to go through that stuff. They'd all felt the sting of a thorn and grazing their arms and legs as they walked through the fields. everyone in the community would have seen a field just before harvest with stalks of grain ready to be gathered in. People hadn't come to Jesus for farming tips any more than any one of us would watch Emmerdale or Clarkson's Farm for agricultural advice. That's not why people would come to Jesus. It's not why we watch those things on the telly. It was totally obvious what Jesus was saying here. He'd gone from the worst place to grow seeds on the path to the best place to grow seeds on the good soil. And there is nothing groundbreaking about the idea that good soil, free from obstacles, will produce good crops. So it must have been really confusing when Jesus calls out at the end of his story, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." You know, just imagine the response of the crowd. We hear the message, Jesus, it's coming through loud and clear. Make sure you sow your seeds in the right place. Got any other stories, Jesus? Something a little bit more inspirational and exciting? Now, evidently, Jesus' followers were just as perplexed by this parable as the newcomers in the crowd. But here's the difference. Those who knew Jesus well didn't just take this story at face value. They came to ask Jesus what it's all about. Verse 9. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And it's what Jesus says next which reveals to us the crowds who thought he was just talking about farming hadn't heard his message at all. Verse 10. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. It's a popular thing to sort of think about parables as if they are stories that make it easy to remember what Jesus has said. Clever illustrations that make his message memorable. But I think what Jesus says here turns that on its head. Rather, parables are a mechanism that Jesus uses for sifting out those who will listen to him from those who don't hear a word he's saying. You see, true followers of Jesus, they are able to hear and understand the meaning of these stories, not because they're oh so smart and perceptive and clever to work them out, but because the once unknown plan of salvation through Jesus has been revealed to them by God himself. They have been given the secrets of the kingdom. But you see, there's another group of people here, isn't there? And those others, the parable reveals their lack of perception of those God-given truths. They turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to the true message that Jesus speaks. Jesus is quoting here words from the prophet Isaiah, as the Lord commissioned Isaiah to preach to a people who would not listen and would not turn to him and would not be saved. And the point in Isaiah that the Lord was making was, if people don't listen to your message, it doesn't mean that the message is wrong and flawed. It just means that people do not understand it. They do not perceive what you're saying. We need to hear the message that Jesus speaks. Now that is a pretty challenging assessment that Jesus gives here, isn't it? No one wants to be told that they are shallow and superficial when it comes to listening. And yet, according to Jesus, that may well be our exact response to God's word. Let me see, I think I've got a quote here from one author. Here's how he puts it. There must be long-term personal commitment and a willingness to let Jesus' words shape our heart and action. Those who do not hold the word in a heart open to its meaning will find little in Jesus' parables. We have to be open to hear what Jesus is saying. We have to see the story behind the story. So why not ask him right now to open your heart to his word, to give you knowledge of the secrets of his kingdom? The good news of salvation through faith in Christ crucified is a life-changing message that everyone needs to hear. we must make sure that we are not content to sort of write it off at surface level. We have to let it change our life completely. That's the meaning we need to hear, the message we need to hear. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. He explains the meaning of the parable. And so the rest of this passage is showing us the meaning that we need to understand. There is more than just maximizing grain yields if you're a farmer. And so as those who have ears to hear, we need to see what the real message of the parable is. Jesus explains in full, doesn't he? This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God, verse 11. That's the key point for unlocking this parable. It is a story about different responses to the word of God. The very good news that Jesus has been preaching round and about. And so as we go through and as we look at the story again, we realize there are several different responses we can have when we hear God's word. The first thing is that God's word can get stolen. Jesus begins by addressing the most unproductive of the soils. How is it that the word of God can be proclaimed and nothing grows? Well, verse 12, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. You have to imagine a situation where a person hears God's word, but it never reaches their hearts. It never changes them. The words go in one ear and out the other. And Jesus is warning there is a spiritual battle that is going on for people's hearts every time his message is preached. Our great enemy, the devil, would like nothing more than to steal God's word away before it actually changes us. Because he does not want any of us to turn to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, when God's word is stolen from us, we are in serious danger. Because if God's word contains the secrets of the kingdom of God, well, if we lose that, we lose everything. Now, it's tempting to think this means that God shouldn't be harsh on those who reject the gospel. After all, isn't it the devil's fault that the word is stolen? But it probably won't surprise you to hear, I don't think that's the takeaway that Jesus wants his followers to take here. Remember, Jesus has already told us that the secrets of the kingdom are given by God himself. That was back in verse 10. Now, the takeaway that Jesus wants us to have here is, when we observe a person who hears the gospel but doesn't reach their hearts, how should we respond? Well, it's not about what we need to do better. Actually, Jesus leads us to a place where if we see that happening to a person, we need to pray, don't we? That the king who has defeated the devil once and for all at the cross will reveal the secrets of his kingdom to them so that they would believe and be saved. Knowing that Satan wants to steal the message away should drive us to our knees in prayer. God's word gets stolen, but God's word also goes shallow. Jesus moves on to the second soil type in verse 13. The rocky soil, where there is initial growth, but it fails when conditions get tough. Those on the rocky ground, verse 13, are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Now, in this scenario, there are people who hear the words of God's word, of the gospel, and their response is hugely positive. They might even be filled with great joy at the thought of what Jesus has done. But that early enthusiasm, that response is a shallow response. And it's insufficient to sustain them when God's word puts them to the test, when it disagrees with them, or perhaps it even challenges some of their most deeply treasured personal beliefs. I think probably many of us will know those who seem to have understood the message of grace, who could speak of the love of God poured out as Jesus gave his life as a ransom for their sins. Maybe they even called Jesus their Lord and King. But when they discovered what the implications of this were, and the fact that it meant it should change the way they live their life outside of Sundays, things started to cool off a bit. Perhaps things seemed fine until they discovered that the one thing that they wanted to do, Jesus had said, you shouldn't do it. And in that time of testing, it became clear that God's word had not made deep roots in their lives. We've met people like that. We know people like that. And we need to hear this warning. As one author put it, God is less interested in how quickly we start the race than whether we are there at the end. God's word goes shallow as well as gets stolen. But also God's word gets strangled. This is the third type of soil. Verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. Again, it seems promising, doesn't it? But it's actually a fruitless kind of soil among thorns. And we need to take a moment just to consider the three specific threats that Jesus identifies that will strangle our progress in hearing God's word. Life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They are all things which can undermine our trust in God's word. Will God provide for my daily needs? Do I have enough cash to fix my problems? Can't I just do whatever makes me feel good? That's at the heart of those things, isn't it? And it's no wonder that Jesus teaches extensively about all of those issues later on in his gospel, urging his followers to seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. We need to recognize that the priorities of this world can become a significant obstacle to our growth and Christian maturity because they stop us from hearing what God has to say to us. We are surrounded by a world that is crippled by anxiety and driven by money and eager for pleasure. And the more we hear those messages, the more our minds become influenced by them. And after a while, it becomes unthinkable that the message of the good news of Jesus Christ crucified could possibly have any relevance to life today. These worries, these concerns, these things strangle our belief in God's word, and we never reach maturity in the faith. Now, in each of these soils so far, there has been something preventing people from hearing and understanding God's word. And Jesus doesn't say that so that we go away from here this morning disheartened, but so that we will be properly informed when a faithful and true presentation of God's word isn't received how we think it should be. But those soils alone don't tell the whole story. There is a fourth kind of soil where God's word grows successfully. Verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Of course, there are some who hear the word of God whose hearts have been prepared to hear the secrets of the kingdom. Now, let's be clear. Jesus isn't saying that good people understand the gospel and bad people don't. A good and noble heart is something we can only have when God himself does a work of transformation in us. Ezekiel, in his New Covenant chapter 36, talks of removing our heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh. This is all a gracious gift. We can only receive and understand God's word if he enables us to do it. But we need to notice the progression when someone hears the word of God with a heart that is ready to receive it. They hear, they retain, and they persevere in the faith, and they produce fruit. Those are the steps along the way in the Christian life. Hearing, retaining, persevering, producing. That is the proof that someone has understood the message of the gospel. It can be seen in their actions in everyday life. They are not a person who hears the word of God, walks out the door, and immediately forgets everything. Instead, they recognize the secrets of the kingdom have huge implications for sinners like us who need forgiveness. Now, if you want to know what that looks like, just think back to those that we met at the very start of the chapter. Those women who are mentioned by name, whose lives were transformed by Jesus, who grasped the message, and who looked to follow him. There is a crop a crop that bore much fruit. And we need to know that the crop that the Word of God will produce in us will be similar. We will be people who look more and more and more like Jesus. So let me try and give you some specific ways that we might see that in our lives. It might mean a growing concern for the interests of others. It might mean an unshakable joy in the Lord through all kinds of difficult circumstances. It might mean a deep contentment or patience through a tough season in life. It could mean that we're showing mercy to those who have wronged us in some way and forgiving them. It might mean learning to control our tongues rather than rapping out a sharp comment in response to something someone's done to us. It might mean a growth in self-control when it comes to seeking pleasure. Now that is just a few examples of the varied fruit that the good news of the kingdom of God produces in the lives of those who hear his word and understand it. But I hope, as we've looked at this parable again, it's renewed in us a desire not just to sort of listen and walk away, but to be that good soil. To be those people who come and listen to God's word week after week, hear his teaching explained and applied. To be the people who retain it, who persevere, who bear fruit in our lives. If we've heard and understood the meaning of this parable this morning, and I mean really understood it, then we will recognize today that God wants us to take care how we hear the word of God. So let's pray that we might. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your words given to us so that we might know you and the gift of salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Yet we also confess today that so often we have not taken care to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. So we ask, soften our hearts that we would receive your word. Forgive us for the times where our listening has been shallow. Strengthen us to persevere through times of testing. Would each of our lives demonstrate that we are those who hear your word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.